We got breaking news. Eric Swalwell sends a cease and desist to the FBI.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. It is a packed show today. I'm not going to lie to you. We got Will Haynes in studio. We got Jordan Seculo in studio. A little bit later, Rick Rennell's joining us. And then later on after that, we have an attorney, Bob Tyler, joining us about that Calvary Chapel case you know about as we've been taking on Gavin Newsom in the state of California. So it's going to be packed. If you do want to be on the air today, I encourage you to call early. So 1-800-684-3110. Because we're only going to be able to take calls really in this first half hour and really only in a couple segments. So 1-800-684-3110. We're going to get to the breaking news item that you're not going to want to miss here. Of course, it involves Eric Swalwell, everyone's favorite. But before that, I did want to say, you know, we were down $29,000 yesterday from our budget for the day. And I issued that challenge if you could help us make up that deficit. And prayerfully, and thanks to you, and thanks to the answers of the ACLJ team and the people who listen to this show or watch this show, we exceeded that. We ended up hitting $31,000 additional dollars yesterday based on this broadcast. So I have to say, number one, a huge thank you. And with that, today is the last day of the Double Your Impact Drive. Midnight deadline tonight. So if you haven't done it, this is the time to do it. Your donations are doubled. We'll set a goal a little bit later as well in the broadcast, but if you can be a part of that, that would be great. But I did want to just say first a big thank you to everyone who did show up yesterday. A lot of our longtime regulars who watch this show, it really proves even that it is worth doing this each and every day, that you appreciate, you respect, and you understand the importance of the work of the ACLJ. And of course, that you enjoy this broadcast, which we have to keep going. We've got to pay for if we want to keep doing it every day. That being said, Will, I'll let you set this up a little bit. Again, this has to do with Eric Swalwell, who always seems to be getting into some kind of heat.
That's right. So we now know that Eric Swalwell, who's a candidate for governor of California, also a member of Congress, a longtime antagonist of the president, has now sent a cease and desist letter to the FBI. One, the fact that he's like, you know, I think we can just tell him to stop, send a cease and desist, is pretty brazen. I think a lot of people may try this tactic if he's successful in the future. But this comes as there's news that the director of the FBI, Kash Patel, as many other people in the team, are looking at releasing the investigative docs around the Chinese spy that had infiltrated his campaign and his office. This is Eric Swalwell. Everyone remembers this story. Christine Fang, also known as Fang Fang, that ended up being a spy, a Chinese government spy, that had gotten very close to the congressman and was able to infiltrate his office. Now, the congressman is trying to say, this is election interference, putting out information about me that could be negative. This is going to really hurt my political campaign. I did nothing wrong. This is the same person who bought into the Russia collusion hoax and would leak, was actually investigated for leaking in the first Trump administration, information, investigative things about the Russia collusion hoax. He was so certain that it was President Trump was colluding with Russia. He is also the one that will play sound too about how adamant he is that you have to get all of the documents out for transparency about things like Jeffrey Epstein. But all of a sudden, when it's hitting close to home, he's sending a cease and desist from his attorney saying, hey, there's going to be legal trouble for you, Kash Patel, if you release my documents.
And we've got some fun audio to play in the next segment. You know, flashing back just a couple months ago, where Eric Swalwell was calling for full transparency, full sunlight, to make sure that conservatives and liberals were being held accountable. But of course, when that sunlight is turned towards you, how quickly you crumble. I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air today. Be a part of the show. And of course, again, you're going to hear it a lot today because it is the last day of the Double Your Impact Drive. Have your donation match dollar for dollar at ACLJ.org today. Again, an ACLJ champion or ACLJ member is ready to unlock a pledge only if you donate today at ACLJ.org. Right now, your most sacred rights are under attack. Your right to free speech, your right to worship, your right to educate your children the way you choose. If successful, these attacks will have a destructive impact on the future of our republic. We're fighting in courtrooms across the country to have a lasting impact, defending and upholding our values that this nation was founded on. From protecting the rights of kids to pray and share their faith.
The best thing you can do is take a stand. There's nothing too small. A kid who wants to start a Bible club is how the ACLJ got its first case to the U.S. Supreme Court. And today, we would take that case as long as we needed to.
Every victory makes a major impact. And it's only possible because of the support of ACLJ members and champions. This is your opportunity to double your impact to defend freedom. For you, your children, and generations to come. Go to aclj.org/impact and have your tax-deductible donation doubled today.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy, and across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's, it's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org/freedom.
Welcome back to Secular. We do got some lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Really, we'll be able to take your calls in this segment and maybe one other at the very end of the show. So if you do want to call in, this is the time to do it. Because in the next segment, we're going to be joined by Rick Grinnell. Later on in the broadcast, we're going to give you an update from one of the attorneys involved in that case against California representing Calvary Chapel. Give you a big broader scope of the work that's going on there with ACLJ and ACLJ partners. So it's going to be fun to listen into that. That being said, if you want to call in, now's the time to do it. Will, I think we need a reset. Maybe you and Jordan can kick this around here because this is an interesting moment. You have Eric Swalwell once again making himself known. I think we should play this to set everything up. So this is Eric Swalwell, before you hear everything, back on, you know, this is from CNN. This is from December 22nd. Everyone's getting ready for Christmas. Doesn't feel like that long ago. Less than 4 months ago. Let's take a listen to Eric Swalwell.
I see it as the best disinfectant is sunlight, but sunlight will not work when all the names have been blacked out. So release the files. We have a lot that we could do if Republicans want to join us. Trust that the Americans are mature enough to handle it. We can handle the truth regardless of who's in it, Republican or Democrat.
And obviously that is about the Epstein files. But meanwhile, the letter from his attorney to Kash Patel says this: the congressman has never been accused of wrongdoing in that matter, and your attempt to release the file is a transparent attempt to smear him and undermine his campaign for governor of California, the letter said. Your actions threaten to expose you and others at the FBI and the FBI itself to significant legal liability. Meanwhile, these are documents we have been seeking at the FBI, at the ACLJ for 5 years or more. Our first lawsuit of the Biden administration was a FOIA lawsuit trying to get the agencies to respond because of all of this information that came out that Christine Fang had been able to, over a long period of time, embed herself within his entire camp. So we knew that she was close to Eric Swalwell. He was on the House Intelligence Committee. He had access to very sensitive documents that a Chinese spy would be interested in. And we wanted to know at the ACLJ how damaging that was to U.S. national security. And Jordan now, like, he's trying to brush it off. Like, this was 10 years ago when she was in my office. No, but nothing to see here. I did nothing wrong, so therefore you shouldn't see this. And actually, this is a violation of my rights, FBI, if you release these documents. This is ridiculous.
If a spy successfully infiltrated his office and he did nothing wrong, why would you not want the information out so that other offices like yours, and if you're running for governor of the largest state in the country, that you want to make sure as well that kind of infiltration doesn't happen at the state level, which obviously we know the Chinese have these influence campaigns in the United States, and they were targeting California politicians. Remember, it was Feinstein who had the over a decade, who came out and was as a Chinese spy. It doesn't necessarily mean that they did something illegal. It could have been bad judgment at a certain point to say, you know what, why is this person hanging around? Why are we getting so close to this person? There's some personal allegations here, I think, as well. But the idea is that if you want everything out about Donald Trump and you want him accountable for everything and everybody associated with him, then everything should come out about you when it actually does make sense. I mean, this isn't just like we randomly want to release stuff on Eric Swalwell because he's running for governor of California. There's a Chinese influence campaign of spies that has been targeting California elected officials and other politicians. I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. At a certain point, I think the information is able to be shared with the American people without giving up the intelligence, so it's not harming an ongoing investigation, so that others know. Because we have new members of Congress elected all the time, like he was, in an unexpected victory, who come in with very young staff, and then people, you know, say, "Hey, I'll work for you," and they're low salaries. And we need to know what to look for as problems all over Washington, D.C., especially against a country that we know is actively got a campaign to put these Chinese spies inside American elected officials' offices.
Well, and once again, Jordan, when you think about the absurdity that he's saying, you're just trying to interfere with my election. That is what he and Adam Schiff did for years. You had to go through an impeachment hearing and trial on the Senate floor.
He was actually part of the impeachment team Trump wasn't president. We tried to impeach a president who wasn't in office. So again, you reap what you sow to some extent. He always kind of, I think, was playing too close to the fire because these allegations were always coming out at the same time. And it was kind of, you know, very much a double standard. On the one hand, we know that there's a Chinese spy close to him. And that doesn't mean, again, that he did anything illegal. He hasn't been charged with a crime. But that also doesn't shield the information from the American people because it could be helpful. And I even look past like political campaigns. Think about the kind of corporate interests, not even just huge companies, but let's say you are a chemical company, a small chemical company in Kansas, right? And how do they, you know, what to look for when people show up who again, they fit the bill, they looks like they would be good for the job, but then you start kind of looking into the background that you do in a normal background check, especially if you're handling anything sensitive, like a congressional office where someone who was on the Intel committee would be. You say, you know what? We might need to slow this down. Not a racial matter. It's not an ethnicity matter. It's just we know there's an issue with China. Let's get more information before we let these people close to a sitting U.S. congressman.
And remember, they had to shut down a consulate in the United States because it was just a spy outpost. Yeah. This is not
the police stations.
Right,
police
stations in New York. Like this isn't so outside the realm of possibility. But also, we know that she was within his office. And the fact that as a public servant, as someone who was a member of Congress representing people of California and now wanting to be a governor of the state, the fact that they wouldn't say, yeah, let's release it all. Let's let them see everything to see how this is going on. Because you know what I care about? I care about national security. He could even spin this and try to say like, well, you know, we don't have Department of Homeland Security because the Republicans, even though we know that their spin there is false, but he could try to spin it and say like, well, we're at a very dangerous time. We need to get more sunlight on these things. No, instead they're sending a cease and desist and threatening legal action, saying you're violating my First Amendment rights because you're targeting me because I'm of a different party. That's their argument here, Jordan, is that the fact that he was the one that had a spy within the office. This isn't as though it is something brand new that no one has cared about. We've been fighting this for 5 years, trying to get information. If it can come out this way, because they are going through, redacting, making sure that top secret information or things of that nature isn't included, doing it carefully, and then releasing it, I am very proud of the FBI for being transparent. We have seen that since President Trump was reelected and since there's been a new guard at the FBI of getting this type of stuff out. And the fact that he is sitting here after years of leaking information that he got on his committee and Adam Schiff got on their committees, leaking it out to damage their political opponents, that he would try to cry foul now, I think he should just be like, you know, I've done similar things. I guess this is where we're at. But no, he's going to try to make this like he's the victim here and try to actually use it to gain votes in California and hide it and say, no, no, I was not infiltrated by a Chinese spy when we know he was.
Honestly, I don't even know if this really hurts him in California. I mean, because he can play the politics of it that he wants to. And obviously, if he's the leading candidate, that tells you where kind of California politics is to this day. At the same time, again, it shouldn't be about him. It should be that this is information that the whole country was concerned about. The fact is that it doesn't matter if you're infiltrating these fundraisers who are putting interns in people's offices by Democrats or Republicans. It's not about necessarily that the member of Congress violated the law. It's what should they and their staffs be on the lookout for? After he was briefed by the FBI, he cut the relationship off. She was no longer around, no longer did any fundraising for him. So he obviously knows that there was enough information there. He didn't like fight back and say, this is someone who's helped my campaigns. I'm going to still let them help my campaigns. No, that he got the information. It was Kevin McCarthy who said after the FBI briefing, you wouldn't want Eric Swalwell on any of your committees. And that's not just the Intel committee, on any committees after what the FBI told him in a closed door hearing about that situation. And of course, his leaking that we also know was a huge issue with him and Adam Schiff's office. When you're dealing on Intel committees, that's the one thing you're not supposed to be doing, you know, is leaking intelligence information for political purposes only, which damaged not just your political opponent, but the United States of America and our intelligence community.
When we get back, Rick Grinnell is going to be joining us, and I have a feeling he is going to have a lot to say about this situation. Of course, it is in his home state of California, number one. Number two, we know he and Eric Swalwell have been good buddies over the years, Will, I'm sure. But that being said,
very, very close allies.
Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. We want to hear from you today. Be a part of the show. It is the last day of our Double Your Impact Drive. I need you to respond in a big way today. We are fighting dozens and dozens of cases today, right now, as we speak. And we can't keep going without you. We really do need your help here. So I encourage you, have your tax-deductible gift doubled. Because we're a little short of our goal for today as well. We need your help. We only got about 12 hours to do it, so be a part of the team. ACLJ.org and become a champion if you can. Your first donation will be doubled, even if you become a champion. That's someone that gives on a monthly basis. That's at ACLJ.org. If you're watching online right now, I know a lot of you are brand new. You may not know our show. Just hit that subscribe button. That's what I ask you if you're brand new here. You don't need to donate just yet. Subscribe, be a part of the conversation, and hit us up in the chat. Let me know where you're watching from. I'll be reading those during the break.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy, and across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's, it's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org/freedom.
Right now, your most sacred rights are under attack. Your right to free speech, your right to worship, your right to educate your children the way you choose. If successful, these attacks will have a destructive impact on the future of our republic. We're fighting in courtrooms across the country to have a lasting impact, defending and upholding our values that this nation was founded on. From protecting the rights of kids to pray and share their faith,
the best thing you can do is take a stand. There's nothing too small. A kid who wants to start a Bible club is how the ACLJ got its first case to the U.S. Supreme Court. And today, we would take that case as long as we needed to.
Every victory makes a major impact, and it's only possible because of the support of ACLJ members and champions. This is your opportunity to double your impact to defend freedom for you, your children, and generations to come. Go to aclj.org/impact and have your tax-deductible donation doubled today.
Welcome back to Seculo. Is Rick Grinnell connected with us? I just want to check to see we got him. Okay, Rick is joining us right now. Rick, obviously, and maybe I'll kick us to Will again, our whole conversation today has been about this news from Eric Swalwell saying, you know what? I believe there should be sunlight on everything. They should be telling everyone the truth. We should be, all of the controversy should be out there in the public to see whatever it could be, unless it's about me.
Rick, I think this is a case study in political hypocrisy. When things like leaking about a Russia collusion hoax is fine, and also forcing, you know, as much sunlight on Epstein files is fine, but as soon as it becomes a scandal within your own political office, you're going to send a cease and desist to the FBI. What are your take on Eric Swalwell's inability to be transparent with the public about the spy that was embedded within his office?
Well, I think you hit it right here. It's total hypocrisy, because what we've known for years is that Eric Swalwell has said that this narrative that he had an affair with a Chinese spy was wrong. He would say things like, you're misinterpreting what was done. He would say things like, this is half-truths. And so now we've got the opportunity to see the whole file, and he's running scared. He's really nervous that the public is going to get to compare the truth to what he's been telling us for years. This is the same thing that happened with Adam Schiff. When Adam Schiff was exposed, when I declassified and unredacted all of the information that he had been saying, you know, I get to see it, you don't understand the full file. Well, when we released the full file, it was proven that Adam Schiff had been lying on CNN and MSNBC for years. This is now in Eric Swalwell's lap. He doesn't want this to come out because he's running for office. He is a manipulator of the truth, and when the truth is about to come out, he gets very nervous.
Yeah, Rick, one of the questions I have also is, you know, when we talk about, you know, Gavin Newsom looking to run for president and how he is received even within his home state, but has been able to create this sort of narrative around the country. Obviously, Eric Swalwell is starting to move in a similar direction now for governor. I was curious what it feels like on the ground in terms of even support for someone like him, because it does feel like they're cut from similar cloth, if you will.
Yeah, I think, look, in our society, there are a lot of people who are just partisan Trump haters. They just want to support anyone who hates Trump. They don't know why they're supporting someone. They don't understand the policies behind it. If you're in California, you see Eric Swalwell every day attacking President Trump. And his entire campaign for governor is just attacking President Trump. This is going to be a disaster for California taxpayers, for California businesses, anyone who's interested in common sense. This is a train wreck that's coming, because Eric Swalwell doesn't know anything about business. He doesn't know anything about common sense reforms. All he knows, all he does in Washington is bash Republicans and bash Donald Trump. And so that's not a campaign for governor. You can't run the largest state in the country simply by hating on Donald Trump. We need somebody who is going to reform California. The policies of a one-party ruled Sacramento are disastrous. And that's why California is losing power and losing people.
I also think it's curious when they try to say this is just election interference by the president because he's scared of me. That's the line they're trying to use. When in reality, first, this isn't the first person that has FBI files or national security files that this administration is releasing. There has been transparency across the board, whether it comes to the Russia collusion hoax or many other things that have been of public interest, other FBI investigations into President Trump, showing what actually took place, showing how things were hidden from the public, trying to be transparent. And they're all for that when it doesn't hurt them. But as soon as this is someone that's running for office, which if you're a congressman, you're always running for office every 2 years. He just happens to be running for governor now. But trying to say that it's a smear campaign, it's trying to undermine his campaign, that was his playbook. That was literally what he and Adam Schiff did for years, trying to go after the president, using, weaponizing their positions within Congress to try and put things out there to create and form a narrative. All of a sudden, when this is actually what the FBI has been doing to everyone, just releasing things, trying to be transparent, he tries to frame it as something like, this is what they're doing to me. You always say, when a Democrat is saying something and saying this is bad, look over here, it's normally what they're themselves doing. Is this another example of that?
Well, look, Eric Swalwell has been in office the entire time that Donald Trump has been in office, and Donald Trump is not afraid of him. We've seen Eric Swalwell throw temper tantrums, do press conferences, try to attack, and it is nothing new. No one is afraid of Eric. Eric has tried everything that he can. And look, if he had anything up his sleeve, he would have already done it in the first Trump term when he was literally losing his head every single day about Donald Trump. And so no one's afraid of him. We've seen all of his tricks. I think it's now Judgment Day. All of the lies that he has been telling and the media have been covering up for him. I've never seen so many Washington Post reporters and New York Times reporters rushing to ask the government to not release information. It's really another signal that journalism is dead when you have reporters calling for secrets. It's quite shocking.
Absolutely, Rick. Thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate your guidance and your thoughts always. And look, we couldn't have people like Rick without you. And I have been saying, I'm going to talk about it. I got 2 minutes left in this segment. Then we're going to take a bunch of calls, by the way, if you want to call in. We got some lines open, 1-800-684-3110. And then give you a big update on that case. Again, taking it to California. It seems like a day we are spending in California today. And our fight for Calvary Chapel against who? The government of California, Gavin Newsom, and all his best trying to find the millions of dollars or over $1 million to find this church. ACLJ is involved, and we got one of our great members who's going to be calling in and being a part of the show a little bit later who's been involved in this case. You're not going to miss it. It's a big update. That being said, it's a Double Your Impact Drive. It's the last day, and we need your support right now. So if you're not used to doing it, or you haven't done it yet, or maybe you've made a one-time donation, maybe I encourage you to go to aclj.org. All the content there, by the way, is not behind a paywall. So even if you become an ACLJ champion, what you're really doing is just helping make sure this content and this legal work can continue on for free to as many people as possible. We want our content shareable. We don't want you to be forced to be a part of anything. We want you to be able to take it and share it with your friends and say, look what's going on in this country. Look what's going on around the world. And you don't have to go give them money to find out their opinions or thoughts or really why you should be engaging what we're doing here. But we can't do that. Maybe the double-edged sword of it. We can't do it without your support. So as we head to break, it's our shortest break of the day. It's less than a minute. I encourage you, go to aclj.org. Double your impact today as your donations are matched. We have court cases currently against CNN. We are currently going to court against the state of California in support of this church. We have everything from street preachers all the way up to leaders in this country and around the world. We're supported by the team here at the ACLJ. And none of it happens without you. So have your gift doubled today at aclj.org. Back in less than a minute.
Right now, your most sacred rights are under attack. Your right to free speech. Your right to worship. Your right to educate your children the way you choose. We're fighting in courtrooms across the country to have a lasting impact.
And it's only possible because of the support of ACLJ members and champions. This is your opportunity to double your impact, to defend freedom. Go to acoj.org/impact and have your tax-deductible donation doubled today.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. I want you to be on the air with us today, and you only got about two segments to do so. Of course, we are still talking about this Eric Swalwell situation, but we are also in the last day of our Double Your Impact Drive. I'm going to keep talking about it, folks, so just settle in. Go to aclj.org. Be a part of the team right now. Make your donation. We're a little short of our goal today. Yesterday, you turned up in a big way. Can you do it again for us? Go to aclj.org. Again, whatever you give is doubled because a great ACLJ member or ACLJ champion, that's someone that gives on a monthly basis, is ready to unlock an additional pledge. So do it today at aclj.org. Should we reset and talk about this? You want to talk about California? Everything's California today.
Yeah.
Seems so, like we're spending time on the West Coast.
What we started this broadcast with is this this cease and desist letter by attorneys for Eric Swalwell to Kash Patel and the FBI saying, hey, we understand that you're potentially going to release files that are related to a spy from China that was in my office for a long time, helped with fundraising and all sorts of other things while I was on this the House Intelligence Committee and things of that nature. But if you release that, we're coming after you. They said the congressman has called for the FBI to agree within 3 days not to release the files, saying that any further action to release them could prompt him to take legal action. I wonder if maybe we could get a law release the Swalwell files in the House of Representatives. Would he be okay with that? Because I know that he was a big proponent of releasing the Epstein files through legislation. This whole thing goes to show the hypocrisy of those on the left. And I think we should play again what Eric Swalwell said in just a few months ago, December 22nd of 2025, around this whole debate over Epstein files, which the left didn't care about until they found a way to make it a negative for Donald Trump. They had 4 years where they had the House, the Senate, they had Joe Biden. They could have done it then. They didn't care about it until they found a way to make it a political bludgeon. But here's what he had to say about that in releasing files. Bite 8.
I see it as the best disinfectant is sunlight, but sunlight will not work when all the names have been blocked out. So release the files. We have a lot that we could do if Republicans want to join us. Trust that the Americans are mature enough to handle it. We can handle the truth regardless of who's in it, Republican or Democrat.
You know what? I agree with them. I think that Americans are mature enough, and I would say Californians are mature enough to read the files, even if there's salacious things in there about how close you were with this individual, that we can handle that, to understand what happened, how a spy from the Communist Party of China was able to get within your operation so closely and was undetected for so long. American people can handle that. We're mature enough to read through this. And you were calling for no names redacted. I understand it that the reason these aren't out yet is that the FBI is going through and redacting things to make sure to protect people. But no, you don't want the truth there because it's an embarrassment to you. No one is saying that you broke the law with this. The FBI isn't saying we are going to throw him in jail after we release these files. But I think it's important for the American people to understand when our national security is compromised by a foreign adversary, how it's done and how we can protect that from not happening again. And if you want to be the executive of the largest state economy in the country, then I think you should be pretty transparent with who's able to get that high up in your political operation, Mr. Swalwell.
Yeah. What he said. When we get back, there's a big update in the world of the ACLJ, and I don't want you to miss this. Look, we have had some big successes recently. Obviously, when you're dealing with court systems in states like California, sometimes there's steps forward, steps backwards, and our team continues to fight. You're not going to miss this big update, and really just a full circle of what's going on here in the work of the ACLJ. But specifically in that case, where the state of California is trying to go after Calvary Chapel to get $1.2 million in fines collected, something that means nothing to California, but can mean everything to this church. You get back, you're not going to want to miss this. Get on hold, though, if you want to be on the show. 1-800-684-3110. We'll take calls at the end.
Right now, your most sacred rights are under attack. Your right to free speech, your right to worship, your right to educate your children the way you choose. If successful, these attacks will have a destructive impact on the future of our republic. We're fighting in courtrooms across the country to have a lasting impact, defending and upholding our values that this nation was founded on. From protecting the rights of kids to pray and share their faith.
The best thing you can do is take a stand. There's nothing too small. A kid who wants to start a Bible club is how the ACLJ got its first case to the U.S. Supreme Court. And today, we would take that case as long as we needed to.
Every victory makes a major impact. And it's only possible because of the support of ACLJ members and champions. This is your opportunity to double your impact to defend freedom. For you, your children, and generations to come. Go to aclj.org/impact and have your tax-deductible donation doubled today.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy, and across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's, it's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org/freedom.
Secular. We're now joined by Robert Tyler, who's president and chief counsel of Advocates for Faith and Freedom. This is an organization that does great work as well, that actually had the Calvary Chapel case from the very beginning and is co-counsel with the ACLJ. And so we are happy to have you on, Robert, to also talk about how long you have been fighting this. Now we are fighting together at the Supreme Court, both our organizations, but this is something that you have been in a lot longer than the ACLJ and our audience has heard about. Go ahead and give some of how you got involved with this early on and the fight that you've had for years now.
Hey, thanks, Will. Love to do that. If I could say, I am honored to partner with ACLJ. We have been working with ACLJ. I think the first case I had was back in 1997, when we had a trial in Riverside County, California. And so it's been, we've worked on many cases together, and I'm greatly honored to continue that work with you guys. Calvary Chapel San Jose contacted me in early 2020 as a result of the restrictions. It's important to note that in San Jose, California, this is where it all started. This is the Silicon Valley. This is where the lockdowns were invented in the United States. And this was the first county in the country to issue a lockdown order. And then from there, it went to the state of California. And then after that, there became a national lockdown, so to speak. And so there's... Silicon Valley made tons of money as a result of COVID because of the technology companies up there with Netflix and everybody staying home watching, you know, TV and, or excuse me, watching these, you know, programs on their phones and things like that. So this is a big deal, and this is where it all started, and it's going to end up here in the Supreme Court with your partnership. We started in May of 2020 when we filed our first suit. That was a federal lawsuit. And then the county sued the church to put a stop to them and say, you know, you can't meet. And, you know, there it was just ridiculous, the restrictions. And so we have been working on this case since May of 2020. And so what's that take us to? I mean, that's almost 6 years now.
Yeah, and this is Jordan Secular. Yeah. That's something I wanted to underscore because we talk about it a lot on the show. But with groups like yours, and again, to learn more about Bob's group and what they're doing in California, go to faith-freedom.com, and you can support them too. I mean, support them financially at faith-freedom.com because it's important, especially in states as large as California, to have those groups, have partners like Bob that we work with at the ACLJ who've set up their own organizations who can do that work to make sure, you know, going back 6 years. I mean, so, Bob, we talk about that a lot because oftentimes on this broadcast, by the time we're talking about something, it's already, you know, pending at the Supreme Court. It may have already been heard at the Supreme Court, and our audience has gotten used to it. But it's kind of a good reminder to know that most of the time, we saw these kind of, we got a time period because of COVID where we saw a lot of emergency actions on appeal, and the Supreme Court was kind of taking cases, especially the Trump cases, and we were involved in those too, where they were taking them, you know, a month after, 2 weeks, you know, but that most of the time, you know, taking a case to the Supreme Court is just under a decade. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of attorney hours, a lot of legal hours. And it takes the client as well, the church as well, who's willing to fight it all the way. So I just tell people about that because sometimes on our broadcast, we're already jumping to that point. But, you know, along the way, that battle.
Yeah. You know, it is when we go back and we track our hours on how many hours we've put into this case. We have close to 2,500 hours in time. Had we been a for-profit law firm billing clients, we would be, you know, well in excess of, you know, $3 million easy at this point, $4 million in fees. And we do that pro bono, and we've done it because it's a calling God's put on our heart, and we believe it's necessary for our future generations to protect our religious liberty. And so, you know, that depositions, many, many depositions, lots of investigation, lots of discovery, which is just the grueling grunt work of litigation when, you know, you're staying up late nights, writing responses, writing demands. There's so much work that goes into it that, frankly, people don't see it. They often look at lawyers and say, oh, such a kind of glamorous job. Associate of mine, we were laughing yesterday because he said, you know, they talk about this being a glamorous job, but they don't see us, you know, staying up late at night in our pajamas, trying to stay awake to keep working to get things done that we need to get done. It's tough, and there's a lot of work that goes into it.
Well, and I also want to bring up that fact, and it's something we talk to our audience here, is that being able to do this work for people, protecting their constitutional rights, but also their God-given rights, that it doesn't come from the government. The Constitution helps enshrine them and protect them, but it comes from God, not from the government. Being able to do that for these cases where we talk about this one in particular, over $1.2 million fine plus 6 years of litigation, that would bankrupt most churches, most organizations, just being able to stand up for your religious freedom. And that is why it's so important groups like Advocates for Faith and Freedom, as well as the ACLJ, are able to do this because of those that support us, to help protect for every other church, every other person of faith that just wants to live out and practice the rights that God gives them when these governments come after them, and try to do it in a way that would make them go away, try to shut them down, make it so burdensome that no one can afford to do what we are doing here except for the supporters that join us and stand alongside us.
Yeah, you've got that right. I mean, if it's, I've often said that, you know, our free exercise of religion, our free speech, our First Amendment rights are only as good, it's just written on paper, right? But it's only as good as and strong as the people who are willing to stand up to protect it. And that's where, you know, a lot of people just give up on their religious liberty, their free speech. They get it trampled on and they just walk away. But it takes clients that are willing to stand up with courage, like Pastor Mike McClure in Calvary Chapel San Jose. I've said that so many times, to stand in courage in the middle of the Silicon Valley, where, you know, it's he's scorned by them. And then it takes lawyers that are willing to, instead of make millions of dollars like we could be in some private law practice that we're billing all of our hours. I don't actually make a living doing this kind of work. I make a living in a private law practice. I donate my time to this generally. And so, you know, we put our time into this and we do everything we can because it's a calling by God. And I want to say one thing. I became a lawyer back in 1996 because in 1991, I read Jay Sekulow's book. I had a calling. I felt like it was something God wanted me to do. And I read Jay Sekulow's book way back then. And I thought, you know, I really feel like this is what God's calling me to do. And it's been such an honor to be able to work for so many years with ACLJ and to be able to work with someone who inspired me to go to law school.
Well, Bob, you know, we hear those stories from so many folks who have now put themselves in influential positions like you have, you know, taking on these cases. Attorney generals, I was at a meeting with some state attorney generals. I heard it from a couple of them who said, you know, that their entire legal careers were started that way. I remember when I was younger hearing that kind of, you know, okay, right. But when, you know, older you hear it and you realize there had to be something there that said, hey, you know, I want to go into this field where it's going to be those late hours. It's going to be weekends working. We always say, like, our legal team is not ever really on vacation. No one's really ever not on call. And it's not that we're trying to take people away from their family time and or their time with their faith, but that this is their calling, as you said. You're a calling that they're committed to. And again, people can support Advocates for Faith and Freedom by going to faith-freedom.com, and you can make a donation there. And we encourage you to do that, faith-freedom.com. Bob, well, we're going to have you on more as we hear from the Supreme Court. Again, we hope we get to take that case all the way there. And again, to make sure that if this, we ever, and I hope we're not, in those kind of situations again, that our First Amendment liberties won't be trampled upon. And if cities, governments try to trample upon them, we will have Supreme Court precedent to fight back. Bob, thank you for joining us in California, and thank you for fighting alongside us for most of our existence, too, at the ACLJ.
Yeah, Jordan, thanks so much. It's an honor to be with you.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, thank you, Bob. Appreciate you calling in and being part of the show today, and obviously all of the work that you've done with the ACLJ. It's always appreciated. Again, this is why the organization exists on such a broad scale, again, from individual cases, individual people, to churches in the country, to the worldwide work the ACLJ does. And it's our last day of our Double Your Impact Drive. So again, ends at midnight tonight. I'm encouraging you to make your donation if you can. Hey, last call for calls. We do have some lines open. A ton of you watching right now, but maybe not a lot of questions or comments. Call me if you got a question or comment right now. Good chance you'll make it on the air. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We want to get your feedback as well.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy, and across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's, it's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org/freedom.
Right now, your most sacred rights are under attack. Your right to free speech, your right to worship, your right to educate your children the way you choose. If successful, these attacks will have a destructive impact on the future of our republic. We're fighting in courtrooms across the country to have a lasting impact. defending and upholding our values that this nation was founded on. From protecting the rights of kids to pray and share their faith,
the best thing you can do is take a stand. There's nothing too small. A kid who wants to start a Bible club is how the ACLJ got its first case to the U.S. Supreme Court. And today, we would take that case as long as we needed to.
Every victory makes a major impact, and it's only possible because of the support of ACLJ members and champions. This is your opportunity to double your impact to defend freedom for you, your children, and generations to come. Go to aclj.org/impact and have your tax-deductible donation doubled today.
Welcome back to Seculo. I am going to try to take as many calls as I can this segment. A few of you have called in. A couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Got about 9 minutes. We'll see how many calls we can get to. Let's start off with Michael, who is calling from the state of Florida, watching on Rumble. Go ahead, Michael.
I kind of think the saying for Mr. Swalwell would be, "Methinks thou protestest too much." I know that karma doesn't usually play into my mindset too much, but for him, I think it applies.
Yeah, you reap what you sow.
Exactly, and especially when you're looking at how much they were kind of a tool of the deep state, both he and Adam Schiff, the way they leaked things. They were the ones that said, you know, there is no doubt in my mind that President Trump colluded with Russia. We have the evidence. They could never actually get the real evidence out there because it didn't exist. But all of a sudden, as you say, you know, obviously the Shakespearean quote that he doth protest too much, that when anyone else, transparency, good, sunlight, good, let's let everyone see everything and you make up your own mind. When it comes to having a spy from China, the fact that we say it, we're not shocked by it as much anymore because we've been dealing with this for so long, but he was on the House Intelligence Committee and was able to be infiltrated by the Chinese Communist Party through a spy. And that he's like, you know, FBI, you're going to be violating my First Amendment rights. I'd like to know how he feels about his own state. He wants to run for governor, violating the First Amendment rights of Calvary Chapel. But Jordan, I don't think that he'll weigh in on that because it may hurt his election chances there.
No, if he did weigh in on it, he'd say, you know, they deserve to pay that fine. I mean, this is, again, what we've seen is that California won't drop this. They could. Along the way, they could have said, they just filed in court. We're no longer trying to, you know, there's other cases out there where these fines have been held to be, you know, unconstitutional, wrong. You know, this was done 6 years ago in this haphazard way. We were wrong, done, and it would be over. But they have fought. Remember, you know, we talked about with Bob Tyler just being, we've been fighting for 6 years. He's been fighting for 6 years to get this case and a victory for Calvary Chapel. The state of California decided to take on this battle. They entered the case. They decided as a state to enter the case and take on this battle to enforce a $1.2 million fine, which to the state of California is nothing.
Right.
But to Calvary Chapel San Jose could be catastrophic.
Well, and also to that point.
And also that hanging over your head for 6 years, that alone is a punishment, which unfortunately, Supreme Court victories, even if you do, that
you
doesn't
fix that.
Right. I mean, so in a sense, you've already lost what you can't get back, which is the pain and suffering, emotional stress, financial stress to your membership, to your leadership team of this financial penalty, which is a seven-figure financial penalty hanging over your head for nearly, you know, more than half a decade.
Well, it also shows the mindset of the state because
yes.
It's not free for the state to fight this in court.
No, you're talking about they've spent more than $1 million.
They have spent more than they would be getting in the fines. History.
A private law firm, like Bob was talking about, if you didn't have groups like ACLJ, you didn't have faith in like his Advocates for Faith and Freedom, it would not be cost effective. It'd be better to pay the fine, figure out how to pay the fine. And if you didn't have California committed to using its state taxpayer dollars, because they fought it three-way. You know, if you have used entire bureaucracy to do this, they've been spending millions of taxpayer dollars, state taxpayer dollars, to go after and try and fine this church $1.2 million because they don't like how they conducted themselves with their COVID-19 policies which were later found to be unconstitutional by courts.
Yep. And look, the work of the ACLJ, as George just said, it is a years-long battle. I mean, we just heard 6 years of just getting this case to this point in the state of California. Some of them, though, of course, do move faster. We don't want to act like this is always the case. But if you're talking about something that's going to get itself to the Supreme Court, that's why we look. When we do these kind of fundraising drives, we know sometimes it can be frustrating because you'll hear about these cases and you're like, it feels like it never ends. And trust me, I'm sure for our legal team, it also feels like it never ends. But we have to be able to continue to fight on. We have to continue to raise awareness and bring that to the front of your mind because we know this isn't going to be necessarily always the stories that are going to be, you know, top news. But when you're a supporter of the ACLJ, you're doing all of that. Also, you're doing it so when you need help, like many of you that go and reach out every day, that you have an ACLJ attorney ready to work with you. When your constitutional rights are attacked, when your religious freedom rights are attacked, if it is within the scope of the work we do, you know it's at no cost to you because people are standing up and supporting the work. And by that, they're becoming members of the ACLJ. They're becoming champions of the ACLJ.
And we also always have to be prepared that a case that we take on, Jordan, could end up at the United States Supreme Court. That's the type of issues we deal with. Sometimes you think they're settled law. But even when you look at like the case in Texas where the teacher was told, you can't pray anywhere that a student can see you. We think that that's settled out of the Supreme Court because of the case with the football coach, right, that was able to be seen praying on the football field. Yet they're taking it to the – they lose, and they're still trying to appeal it. They may be trying to fight this the whole way. And if they keep filing appeals, we have to be there to fight that. Yeah. And once again, it may seem like something that is an issue that we can get resolved quickly with even a demand letter that still costs man hours, that still costs legal work, that if you were to go to a private firm would cost thousands of dollars. But when you also know that the ACLJ is prepared to take whatever case it is, if we have to, all the way to the Supreme Court, that is what makes the people that stand with us so valuable.
Well, this is why the donors, the dollars are so important, okay? Because see, what we can tell you is that what states, counties, and governments realize when they want to impose these fines on the American people and restrict your constitutional rights, even when they know it's likely they could lose in court, they know that a lot of people won't be able to find an organization that can take their case on. And remember when you're talking about taking the case on, that law firms would say, sure, but it's going to cost this much. It will cost more. It could cost more than the fine that you are trying to fight back against. This is why the donors become so important. You're able to set up organizations that can stand in the way to preserve the rights of the American people that would otherwise not be preserved because it wouldn't be financially feasible for the injured person, the person whose constitutional rights were violated, or the attorneys having to represent them, who may not have an organization set up with donors and supporters, to actually take on that work. So it's because of your donations that constitutional rights are preserved for you and generations to come from government overreach, states, counties, the federal government, school boards, local school districts. We see it as city councils. It's never going to end, their urge for more power. And to do it under times of stress, like pandemics or any other kind of situation, wartime, acts of terrorism. So we have to be ready to stand for your constitutional rights and our constitutional rights all of the time. And that's, again, I think it just explains why are donors so important for organizations like this. And this case, you know, 6 years on, costing you millions of dollars to actually do, is exactly what it's all about.
That's right. Let's put up that QR code right now, okay, for the next 35 seconds as we're still on the air during this Double Your Impact Drive. Scan it. Go to ACLJ.org. Do it right now. We're short of our goal, and we only have a few hours to make up the difference. You really showed up yesterday. Know how much we appreciate it. Showed up today. Help us close this gap and help us close successfully and have a strong month. Do it today. Have your tax-deductible gift doubled before our midnight deadline. Go to ACLJ.org/impact or just scan the QR code you see on the screen right now. Again, ACLJ.org. Have your donation doubled. Talk to you tomorrow.
Right now, your most sacred rights are under attack. Your right to free speech, your right to worship, your right to educate your children the way you choose. We're fighting in courtrooms across the country to have a lasting impact.
And it's only possible because of the support of ACLJ members and champions. This is your opportunity to double your impact to defend freedom. Go to aclj.org/impact and have your tax-deductible donation doubled today.